This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's Troy Sivan and my. Nice. Oh, yay, it's Friday.
Laughing like you just tickled yourself.
Isn't that great? Friday. Hey, listen. You know how we're always talking about politicians and how duplicitous they are and how they lie to us and how we must stop worrying about them because they're always going to bullshit us and try to make it about them. Yeah. Well, all the proof is in the pudding. You know, Julius Malema is one of these people who gets a free pass from the media largely. They like him because he gives them inside info on the ANC. Mm-hmm. He talks a big game. He says outrageous and hateful and divisive things because that's what gets the newspaper's headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And all the online publications. It gets Twitter up in a funk. You know what happens. Well, it turns out Julius doesn't pay his taxes.
Oh.
Now, we knew this already a long time ago, but they've decided to... He's having his farm repossessed. Remember he had his house repossessed a while ago because he hadn't paid his taxes? Now his farm, which he owns somewhere in Polokwane or near there, has been repossessed as well. So Julius does not pay his taxes. Now, if Julius doesn't pay his taxes and he goes to Parliament and gets paid with our tax money, why should any of us? And if he says we must all listen to him and do what he says, and he's got great ideas of how the country could be run better, but he doesn't even pay his taxes, why should we pay any attention to him? Like, the next time Julius stands up and starts, "Well, the problem with this country is," someone should pull him off the stage and say to him, "You didn't pay your taxes. You're not allowed to talk."
The
rest of us have to pay.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest difference here. If any of us decided not to pay our taxes, the outcome would be so much more different.
Yeah. Jail. So this guy must stop getting a free pass from people. Really? It's outrageous. And then I see Jacob Zuma. This is him in KwaZulu-Natal at some gala dinner in his honor in Durban. He's being honored with some bravery award and being the champion of radical economic transformation.
Oh.
Transformation of the Gupta bank accounts. That's what he's being lauded for. But listen to it. He gets up on stage and guess what he does? His signature tune... His signature tune, Mubs. What is it? How does he manage to pull the wool over so many people's eyes that they think he's some kind of hero when all he did was help his friends, the Guptas, to escape the country with piles of money?
Wow.
How can people go, "Oh, I know what we need to do. We need to honor him."
Because in making all that money for the Guptas, Gareth, he did also elevate a certain number of people.
Yes, his very close circle of friends. Very Supra Mahuma Pelo.
Yes, they all benefited hugely from that thing. So they must honor him. They must.
Haven't heard that track in a while.
No.
When young Bambisela.
Right. When young Bambisela. That's how he usually starts it.
Yes.
Anyway, so... All right, he says, "Black unity is the only way to achieve radical economic transformation." This is from a man who did everything he could to divide and sell the country to the lowest bidder. Mm. Three fat, talentless Indian brothers who did the only thing in Zuma's eyes that is virtuous, and that is to pass some of the money back to him and his family. Fat Kulubuse and Dudu Zane and people like that. Outrageous that anyone still listens to him. Outrageous. This man is thoroughly discredited. And yet he's now talking about, "Oh, listen, black people, what you all need to do is stand together. That's how you'll achieve radical economic transformation." Shut up. You did nothing to help ordinary black people in this country. You took money from the fiscus. Could have gone to helping in education, in healthcare, in housing, in water, in electricity. And what did you do? You put it into the pockets of the Guptas. You are not allowed to talk. Like, Julius is not allowed to talk because he didn't pay his taxes. Shut up.
Nobody's allowed to talk. Can everybody please stop talking on behalf of black people?
Yes, thank you.
Like everyone in existence.
Right.
Thank
like
you.
Like all black people are going to feel the same way about.
Stop talking on behalf of women. Stop talking on behalf of... like if
just
you're,
stop it.
If you're not them, stop speaking on their behalf. If you are, like, just everybody stop speaking. Shut the fuck up.
Someone says this morning, I want whatever Mabale had for breakfast this morning. She's on fire.
Oh.
Yeah, you just proved it. Geez, you guys are a bundle of joy this morning with that philosophy lesson at 6 o'clock. Happy Friday, team. It's better from here. Clint from the Val. A good life is spent in search of a good life. So listen. Nice to listen live for a change, says William. Well, there we go. We've got George Meany popping by just before 8 o'clock. We'll get to him in a moment or two. Andy says, what could possibly go wrong when Donald Trump is going to meet Kim Jong-un? Do you see this?
Well, yes.
Is this true, Mubs?
Yes, it's true. When was it? A few days ago, I told you about how I think South Korea were the ones who were kind of sort of acting as mediators between North Korea and the U.S., saying, you know, you two need to get together. You need to tuck your penises back into your pants and stop trying to swing them around in a dick contest and just be logical. So, yes, Donald Trump is indeed set to have a sit down with Kim Jong-un. I think the offer actually came from Trump himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's got such balls. Like he has the biggest balls in the world. Big, swollen, heavy balls that he could bounce around on like a like a hoppity hop. This guy.
Got flash
he's like,
bags.
I know what I can do to solve this. I'll go and meet him. He's got such faith in his own ability, huh?
Yeah.
You can't even solve your situation with Stormy Daniels. Now sure. You're the...
Right. How well did that NDA work?
The meeting, which would be the first between a sitting U.S. president and a North Korean leader, will happen in May. This is according to South Korea's national security
advisor. It will happen in May or it may happen?
What's gonna happen? You know what? That's actually a good question to ask. It depends what happens between now and May, because if either one of those two say something that the other finds offensive, whole thing could be scrapped from the table. So the announcement is the culmination of a diplomatic whirlwind that began with the invitation of a North Korean delegation to the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
All right.
And Trump's decision to meet Kim after a year in
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
Yes, yeah, right, Trump. Yeah, you keep reminding us of that. Thank you. Okay. Now, Trump's decision to meet Kim after a year in which the two have repeatedly traded insults is seen as a remarkable breakthrough.
I don't answer to you. Don't get fucking loud with me.
Although it does come with certain consequences, the South Korean delegation, which landed in Washington, D.C. for a debriefing yesterday, was careful to praise Trump's influence over the developments. So, yes, the May meeting may happen in May.
The May meeting.
Who else is excited about that? Have you seen that that meme that's going around with Kim Jong-un sitting at his desk and his cat is sitting right next to the big red button? And it says, this is how World War III starts. The cat presses the button.
Oh, you know cats are evil. So it would do it just to spite the world.
Absolutely.
Whew. Yeah. Okay.
Cats would do that.
Cats?
If cats are evil.
Cats cannot be trusted.
I know Ben's not here, so he's not here to defend the cats because he's the only one who would. I'm telling you, if they could, they'd wipe humans out.
Yes, I believe that strongly.
I mean, you've heard what happens if you die in your house and you have cats. They'll eat you. You know that, right?
Screw this thing, you know that I loved you for years and you fed me.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Well, even though he will deny it today, there was that incident when Ben could not explain why he woke up bloodied in his bed one morning and it was just him and Meowsers in the house the night before.
Right.
So, evil. Evil
I'm telling
creatures.
You, there's a whole lot of shit going down with cats that we don't know. There's a secret underground society.
Oh, yeah.
They're plotting our demise. It's just a matter of time.
Weird.
They're very dangerous.
You knew!
Exactly.
All right, so let's bring it back home for a second. Mhlengi Gwala, the 26-year-old KZN triathlete who was attacked with a chainsaw while training, has spoken out for the first time.
Yo!
Okay, so he says that he will not focus on negative aspects, but will make a full recovery and get back out there. And he was speaking to the media just a day after he underwent a successful 5-hour surgery at Inkosi Albert Luthuli Central Hospital.
Yeah.
So this is the version of events according to him. He was out at about 3:15 a.m. on Tuesday because that is part of his training routine, right? He gets like an early morning start to his training. Mm-hmm. And this was happening near the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
Right.
The three assailants did not take any of his belongings. Instead, they dragged him to a nearby bush where they used a chainsaw in an attempt to cut off his legs.
Really?
After failing to start up...
Yeah, I've heard the story before, but I still can't get over it. My God.
After failing to start up the chainsaw, the men opted to use a malfunctioning device manually to try to cut off one of his limbs. Unable to do so, and they also got disturbed by a nearby security guard, the men then fled off, leaving Gwala seriously injured.
God.
Yeah. You know, he says that they didn't take anything from him. At one point, he even offered his cell phone. He said, guys, I don't understand what's happening, because he said that he went into like a complete panic, as you can imagine.
Someone comes at you with a chainsaw and wants to chop your legs off. You're like, listen, what do you want?
He says these three were speaking a language that I could not recognize and could not understand. He said it sounded like a funny language.
Oh, my God.
So he thought, okay, let me offer you my cell phone because I think you're trying to rob me. These guys were not interested. They handed the phone back to him. Two of the guys held him down. And then the third guy was the one who then tried to start up this chainsaw, which malfunctioned. And then when it didn't start up, he just started going at him manually.
Oh.
And look, he says he doesn't know why he was attacked. He doesn't recognize the three men. He doesn't understand why it happened. But he did say that he's not ruling out that it could have been, you know, somebody trying to get at him, like a vengeful attack. Mm-hmm. He says he's not ruling that out, although for now he doesn't understand why it happened and he doesn't know what happened. He added, yeah, maybe someone sent them too. They didn't take anything, you know, as I said, he took out his phone, they gave it back to him, and yeah, that's all that he is able to tell us for the moment. But that crowdfunding initiative that Sia was telling us about yesterday, where was it at yesterday? At around 200,000 rand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by yesterday afternoon, it was over 400,000 rand.
Wow. Good. So I'm going to go and put some money in there.
If you want to, it is on backabuddy.co.za, and it is titled Get Mhlengi Back on His Bike.
Good.
And he is hugely, grateful and has been just in a positive space because of the news that everybody is kind of trying to rally together to raise money for him. And that's probably why, you know, his stance and his attitude on the matter is, I'm not going to focus on the negative aspects. If anything, I am going to get back out there.
Good for him.
Good for him indeed. Backabuddy.co.za, get Mhlengi back on his bike.
Nice.
Phew.
What a thing to happen.
Jeez, man.
You go out for your morning run and this bizarre, wild, insane thing happens to you. Man. All right, what else is going on?
Okay, so we live in a world of fake news now, right? It's a pretty scary world to live in because...
Fake news.
You have to take everything that you hear or read with a pinch of salt.
Yes.
But be most... Be most careful.
That's how people feel.
What is that?
I just picked up the phone. That was the first response I got.
Be most careful of Twitter, because according to new research, fake news is 70% more likely to spread on Twitter.
Well, of course, Twitter's
than
this...
anywhere else.
Twitter is disgusting.
Yeah.
If you are using Twitter for anything but a cursory glance at what the dumbest people in society are up to, you're wasting your time.
Now, it probably doesn't come as a surprise to you to hear that Twitter is the platform where most of the fake news is spread.
Sure it is.
But it might surprise some to hear that the imbalance that gets driven on Twitter is done more so by you and me than by the automated bots that everybody seems to be afraid of.
Of course.
It's you and I that are the culprits of spreading the fake news.
Spread fake news.
Oh. We've all probably spread a fake story at
some point, and
we probably didn't even know it.
Just the other day, I told people that Sia was here in high heels.
Oh, they believed me. Outrageous. So this is all thanks to a study by researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Media Lab, where they examined about 126,000 stories that were shared by 3 million of us on Twitter from 2006 to 2017 and found that false news was about 70% more likely to be retweeted by people than bots. The study, published in the journal Science, was one of the most comprehensive efforts to date to assess the dynamics between how false news circulates on social media. Now, the reason this whole thing is being done to begin with is because Twitter and other social media companies like Facebook, they've come under scrutiny recently by U.S. lawmakers as well as international regulators for doing too little to prevent the spread of fake news.
But this is not their fault. You've just said it's mostly us that are spreading this around. So if we don't spread it via Twitter, we'll spread it via someone else.
Mm.
It's not Twitter's fault. It's not Twitter's responsibility to make sure you get the truth. You've got to still do some of the work yourself.
I guess it's because of accusations that surfaced last year where U.S. officials accused Russia of using social media to try to sow discord in the United States.
Yeah, well, if you allow people to sow discord, then that's what you're going to get.
Then they were also accused of interfering in the American
re-election.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a re-election, actually.
They were accused of interfering in the election, and I suppose as the platform originators or creators, the responsibility ultimately then lies with a Twitter or a Facebook, and that's why they're the ones that are being held under scrutiny.
Right.
They're saying, well, it is your platform. You created it.
Fake news.
And now these humans are misusing it. So you do something about it.
You.
Yes.
You do it.
You
Let's
Twitter.
Just go to the line, see what anybody has to say about that. Good morning. Exactly. Still the same.
Okay. All right.
All right. A couple of messages. Let's get some of these in here. None of them are any good. Just move on.
You sounded like Tina there for a second.
I did.
From Bob's Burgers. Do you know Bob's Burgers?
I sound like one of the Kardashians.
No.
What are you talking about?
Hi, this is Kim. I just wanted to let you know, Kanye and I have just had a baby.
What's that baby called, the new one?
Chicago.
Stop. That's great. That's good. Let's go with Chicago.
Oh, okay.
She'll never have to fill out a form.
This is the way that
all
celebrities who want to come up with a name, they just choose a name of a place now. That's what they do. So you want to name your kid something interesting, you just choose a city. Rio de Janeiro.
Well, Kanye's from Chicago.
Right. That's what it is, huh?
Are you on my number?
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Oh, God. Shoot me in the head, okay. Frank Sinatra. Talk about overrated. Talk about overrated. That Frank Sinatra.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Such a problem with that
what
guy.
What did Frank Sinatra
Wait a minute.
Do to you?
So glad he's dead.
What? Overrated is the word I heard.
Yes,
what
totally.
Did New York, New York, My Way?
Ah, please. He didn't write any of those.
But he performed the heck out of them.
Go listen to Paul Anka doing My Way. You want to hear it done properly.
Oh.
Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra is a mobster. he was also related to them. No, he was also particularly nasty to women.
Oh, but I mean, back in those days, they all were.
Oh, that makes it okay. Huh?
No, it doesn't make it okay, but they all were.
Yeah, I know you anti-feminist. I'm watching you.
Okay.
Who would have thunk?
What? That I don't like Frank Sinatra?
Yes.
That's totally overrated.
Ah. You know what, Gareth? It's allowed.
Do you know who I do rate? Are the people who are coming in at 8 o'clock. Oh, we got Tony the King, Eddie Eckstein, Joe Parker, and Mark Banks, the legends of comedy in South Africa. They're all going to hang out with us just after 8 o'clock. I'm very excited about that. But back to you, Mabale.
Okay.
In the news.
So you brought us down to the celebrity level, so I'm going to stay there for a second.
Down with the Kardashians?
With the Kardashians, yes. So this is the low level where I'm going to remain at currently.
All right.
Tommy Lee. Sia, you know who Tommy Lee is?
Pamela Anderson's ex-husband.
Good boy.
Or also musician.
Yes. 10 points to you.
Yes.
Well, he is reportedly seeking a restraining order against his son following a violent altercation between the two of them. The 55-year-old heavy metal singer and his son Brandon Lee, who he has with ex-wife Pammy Pam, they had an explosive fight in Calabasas earlier this week, and it resulted in Tommy suffering a bruised and bloodied lip.
Jeez. Did you say Calabasas?
Yes.
Isn't that where the Kardashians live?
You see. It's your fault we are here.
I don't know about it. All right, so hang on. So this is this the kid that was made during that infamous sex video? No, he was already... He was already born by then.
No. Well, that video is just after they got married.
Oh, yeah. So he could be the result of that sex video.
Right.
The most famous sex video of all. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's cast our minds back into a time where things were slightly different, all right? Let's go back in time, because a lot of people don't entirely remember the history of when all of this began and where it all comes from. And now we're going to give you a quick lecture in how it all actually happened. Are you ready to go on a journey, Sia? Let's take
powerful
a journey.
Information.
Oh. Once upon a time, before Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, there was another sex god, a goddess called Pamela Anderson. She was in Baywatch, she had big titties. Oh. She was famous the world over for running on a beach, letting them bounce.
Running in slow motion.
Right. And then, all of a sudden, at this critical juncture in history, the stars aligned and she met a rock star called Tommy Lee with an enormous penis.
Oh. Well.
And the two of them, well, they made out on a boat. Mm. There was oral pleasure. Mm. There was hand manipulation. Oh. There was full penetrative action. And everybody in the world watched. Everyone. They say it was on a VHS tape that was in their house that was stolen.
Wow.
Bullshit. Mm. They handed that right over because they knew it would make them eternally burnt into our memories as the originators of this new way of becoming well-known, famous, and some would even say legendary.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, those heroes of the 1990s.
Hmm.
Changed the world for everyone else. Oh, yeah. And if this kid, Brandon Lee, is the result of that sex tape, well, he's allowed to be a little angry. So he beat up his dad. Dad, could you and Mom not have kept one thing, just one thing away from everybody?
Ooh.
So he says he got into fisticuffs with his own son.
With his own son, Gareth, it gets a little bit more hectic than that, because according to reports, Brandon was attempting to defend his mother.
Great family, this.
I don't know if Tommy Lee was in an altercation with Pammy Pam, and then Brandon intercepted. Now, initially, Tommy Lee was willing to withdraw the police report following the car, but he has now performed a U-turn and is instead seeking a restraining order against his son.
What?
Because his son refuses to apologize to him. Tommy thinks that his son has inflamed the situation by discussing their clash in public. So what did Tommy do? He took to Twitter to bash his son. I mean,
in public.
What a wholesome, loving family.
Oh, wow.
You can take the boy out of the trailer park, but you can never take the trailer park out of the boy.
Yep.
Right on.
This is true.
Hmm.
Punching your own son.
Punching your own
son. And vice versa, punching your own father.
Yeah.
That's hectic.
And then taking out a restraining order against your son. Hey, man.
Classy.
And tweeting about it.
Classy, just like that sex tape. That's what I'm saying. This is in his DNA. It's there for all time.
Oh, Pammy, Pam, Pam.
Hey, you know who indulges in a bit of the marijuana every now and again?
Marijuana?
Marijuana, Mary Jane.
Who doesn't?
Who?
Well.
Who is it?
Obama!
No, well, no? Yes, him too, though. Him okay. too. Right. Remember, they
back
were
in the Dazay.
Yes, shortly after he became president, people were looking to tarnish his image, and they said, "Well, did you know he smokes weed?" Yeah, well, fuck, who doesn't?
Obama is a Mac Daddy.
Yes, Charlize Theron as well.
Oh,
yeah,
Charlize Theron.
Oh, Theron.
She enjoys a blunt every now and again.
Sure, she does. She looks like a fun girl.
Admitting that her mom,
Charlize Theron,
her mom sometimes buys her marijuana to help her with her irregular sleep patterns.
Charlize Theron.
Oh, that's what it's for?
Well, you know, she says that she suffers from sleeping problems and has revealed that her mother has sought to combat the issue by buying her the drug, which is, of course, now legal in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
So, admitting this on Jimmy Kimmel Live, actually, saying, "I'm always willing to try anything. You got one life to live. Why not?"
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
She's not embarrassed. She's proud of it. Well, why should anyone be embarrassed about occasionally smoking weed and being less of a problem to society? Jesus. I would almost make it mandatory for just about anyone who's looking for trouble with everybody else.
You know, the stoner image, Gareth, has gone under some rebranding.
Yeah.
Because, you know, initially stoners were seen as these lazy
losers.
Stupid people.
No, they were seen as losers, and
yes.
they were painted into being the members of society that we should all be staying away from. That they were dangerous, that they were slackers, they didn't have much ambition. I have a totally different view, and you know I don't smoke weed. I never have, right? I'm not that interested in it. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible. But I think the more people are on this stuff, the better everything will be, because I don't see stoners causing shit. I see people who are not – all these uptight, self-righteous – busybodies, you know, the kind of people who like spy on their neighbors and those kind of people.
They need to get high.
I see them. Yeah, I see them as the problem. And plus, if my girlfriend Charlize Theron is doing it, then how the hell could I have a problem
how
with
could
it?
Charlize Theron against it?
Right.
Indeed.
Damn straight.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, I know you and a couple of your friends are in that club with Charlize Theron, and good for you.
You know, every now and again, only a few times a year, though.
I'm just glad you're not doing the hardcore stuff, Mubs. That's all.
Oh, no. I know my limits.
Hmm.
No.
You don't need to.
I could never mess with the chemical stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
All right, when we come back, we're going to speak to a dude called Craig McGregor. He's the co-founder of the D Stock Exchange. We're going to get that ASAP on the go for you. Got someone on the phones, Balissa? Is that what you? Balissa's busy gesticulating to me. Good morning.
Morning, Gareth. How are you guys?
Good. Who's this?
Good. Sean speaking.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
Gareth, I was wanting to ask you this. What is your take on the free education? So that's something that's going through, right? Were they going ahead with it? Free education.
Yeah.
So what is your take on it? Do you think it's can we afford it as a country, or what do you think?
Sean, I don't have the balance sheet in front of me, so I don't know. But everybody tells me that we can't afford it, that it's too expensive. I don't know if that's the truth. I think if we diverted some of these funds that have been misappropriated over the last 9 years, if we stopped paying for corruption and graft, and we took in hand a very undisciplined fiscus, I think we would have enough money, and I don't think that free education on the face of it's a bad idea. Like, who would be opposed to that, right? But...
So yeah.
But... if you're getting something for free, what's it really worth?
True. Very true. My second question is, so you're not opposed to free education, but you are a little worried about where we are going to get the money. And
well,
number two is, obviously, are we going to value the free education?
Sean. Here's the deal. The people who are going to provide this free higher education are the same people who provided the free basic education, which we know is a total and utter disaster. We've got the least literate, least numerate population in all of Africa. So most of our kids who do get through school don't even have any skills by the end of it that they could apply in the real world. So how are they going to get it right? How are they going to get it right in higher education if they can't even get it right at primary school level?
Well, that's my point exactly. As I was speaking about this yesterday, and I said, you know, they're starting at the wrong level because they want to look at varsities and those stuff.
What are you trying to spoil our Friday? What's your story here, Sean?
No, not at all. I was listening to a podcast yesterday,
yeah.
And I forget the name of the show now. I think it's something country. But anyway, someone
Country
on the show
Duty,
said,
yeah. That's one of our podcasts.
I think it was Kat that said, the reason why we oppose, whites oppose free education is because we're scared of literate blacks. Getting more literate blacks, and I was like, "No, you're missing the point." I'm definitely gonna phone in and just get the record straight for the airball.
Yeah, call into that show.
That's really not.
All right, don't spoil my show first thing on a Friday morning. Call into Country Duty and spoil their show. All right.
I'll do that.
How
Have
dare
a good day,
you?
Guys.
Get on with you. Keep yourself busy with your own shit. All right.
Bye.
Get out of my phone.
And have a blunt.
Yeah, do what my buddy would do in this situation. What are you planning for the weekend, my buddy? People are always interested in your weekend. People are so interested in your life. It's just unreal.
It's a shame. If only they knew how, like, underwhelming and just ordinary my life is.
Oh, please.
No, I've got a party.
Wild life.
I've got an event situation tonight.
Yes.
I still haven't seen Black Panther, so I think that will happen tomorrow.
I'm doing that this weekend.
Yeah, I think that will finally happen tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's about it.
Sounds good.
No kids this weekend. I had enough of those last weekend.
How many kids did you have last weekend?
There were at least like 10 at one point in my vicinity.
And none of them are yours?
None of them are mine.
Just in case people, because if you heard that wrong, let's say you just woke up, you turned on cliffcentral.com on your phone, and you heard my buddy going, "I had so many kids last weekend." You would think, wow, she gave birth to triplets. That's not what she's saying. She was looking after some children. What a responsible citizen you are. You know that my brother and sister-in-law will still not, I mean, they know better, and I didn't offer, but they won't leave their kids in my care.
Well,
I think that's a good decision.
Yes, yes.
I think that's very wise.
Yeah.
Don't you? I think that's so wise.
100%.
Right. All right, so Craig McGregor is here. He's the co-founder of the D-Stock Exchange. Let me explain this to you quickly. And I mean, Craig, you couldn't have come at a worse time, because if we're going to talk about the blockchain and we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies, today is an absolute shitstorm on the market. So,
yeah, I do agree.
So I'm already cross with you, and it's not even your fault. Yeah, you're sitting outside there looking all smart and together. And here I am thinking, my God, I'd look at my portfolio of cryptocurrencies. I want to climb up the top of a tree and jump.
Yeah, we can jump into that also. I think it's quite interesting what's been happening the last few days. Basically, the SEC in the States making a statement around how exchanges that trade cryptocurrencies mm-hmm. need to become regulated, and it really plays into pretty much our game, because that's what we are.
Well, all right, let's talk about D-Stock, because you guys are a government-regulated stock exchange based on the blockchain. Now, I didn't think governments even understood the blockchain. How did this happen? One of the reasons I like the blockchain is because governments weren't involved in them. How can you straddle this divide?
So it was a very interesting process for us. It took quite some time, and actually the journey began with looking around the world at which different jurisdictions are amenable to these types of businesses that we're looking at. And so our license basically allows us to operate globally. Mm-hmm. It's not
but
from South
which
Africa.
But which government?
We're just about to go live with all of our media stuff. Our website goes out next week. And so next week we'll basically tell you where
you
it is.
You can't tell me which government?
I can't tell you which
is
government.
Is it Peru?
It's not.
Is it some shitty third world country where you just bribed some government official so you can get regulated? Come on.
Absolutely not.
Help
no.
me understand this. So
okay,
can
sure.
I go on to D-Stock and I can buy shares, or I can invest cryptocurrency into new businesses.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. So essentially,
at this stage, I'd rather put my cryptocurrencies into some new startup than into plain straightforward exchange.
Yeah, which is precisely the play we're trying to make, actually, is providing people, you know, the ability to diversify into real-world assets in a kind of – what we're aiming to do is create a safe haven for
people
to do so.
All right, Craig, but you understand my nervousness around who it is, because when anyone says – government regulated stock exchange in the same sentence as blockchain.
Absolutely.
I think it behooves us to be very nervous.
Yeah.
Which government even begins to understand the idea of blockchain, and who isn't threatened by it when they're in government? Because the blockchain means that effectively we one day won't need a government. well, and take it to its logical conclusion.
That's one way you can look at it. The way that I look at it actually is that it's quite an interesting dynamic we're seeing in the world right now, where smaller countries that are flexible enough to be accommodating towards
is it Panama?
Blockchain. It's not Panama, no. But Gibraltar's a good example. That's okay. Actually not where we're sitting, but Gibraltar, at the beginning of the year, they put out a framework called the DLT framework, which basically makes it legal for blockchain companies to register and operate there.
And I would imagine
these small countries become like startups.
I would imagine some of the tax havens are very keen to do this because they've got the people in them who understand where you can move money around the best.
It's the tax havens that are the most forward-thinking.
Okay, I like that. Anywhere you can take tax money away from a government, I'm in favor of. In fact, the whole reason I care about cryptocurrencies is not because I'm one of those people who hopped on in order to make a quick buck. I believe that if we can disintermediate our transactions, if we can find a way for me and Sia to do business across borders and across the internet, we shouldn't have to pay everybody else fees along the way.
I absolutely agree. Fundamentally agree. And that's also a big part of the business that we're trying to do. And actually a big part of our mission too is to enable financial inclusion, economic inclusion, and to, you know, kind of erase some of the borders that exist around capital markets and just making the world a more accessible place, especially when it comes to raising money. There's two sides of it. There's investing, and then there's also the other side, which is companies that need to raise money. Mm-hmm. And especially in emerging markets, it's a huge, huge issue. It's really hard for companies to raise money. Ethiopia, for example, it's a really good example. It's one of the key places we're going to be doing business. The economy there is growing more than 10% a year, and it has been for more than 10 years.
Right. Take note, Nhlanhla Nene and Cyril Ramaphosa.
Exactly.
It's possible. Everybody always goes, oh, African countries, oh, they run so badly, oh, governments know what they're doing. And largely, a lot of that growth is coming from the Ethiopian government opening up, not closing down and shutting down and regulating.
Yeah.
It's as a result of them opening up things like their stock market and the ability for people to send money and to receive money inside the borders of that country.
Well, I would disagree, actually, because Ethiopia doesn't have a stock market, in fact.
They don't?
They don't have a stock market.
So how do they trade?
They have to raise funding mostly internally.
You have to take six cattle to the parliament building and then trade them for three packets of wheat.
I mean there's a lot of big banks that have set up there. There's developmental funds that put money into the country.
Are Ethiopia into cryptocurrency? You're teaching me things.
They're not massively into cryptocurrencies, mostly just because there's not a lot of exchange infrastructure in the country.
So but how are they growing at 10%?
Well, not through cryptocurrencies. Okay, it's so because of startups and small companies.
10% in Anima. I mean, this is crazy growth. People would love to have that kind of growth in South Africa.
Yeah, it's the third fastest growing economy in the world. And they're doing it because, well, first of all, they're growing from a
someone
low base.
Someone who knows this, we need some info here. I need to actually speak to someone who's an expert on the Ethiopian economy. Who would have known? They don't have a stock market.
They don't have a stock market.
And
actually, one of the big reasons is because it is still difficult to get money in and out of the country. The economy there, they import a lot more than they export. So they're quite tight on their currency. Mm-hmm. So for us, what we can do...
Their currency is called the birr. Ethiopian birr.
Yeah.
It's not easy to move the birr around.
No, it's very hard.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
It turns very slowly.
And because of that, right, it's hard for them to get investment from abroad because you can't get the money out, basically.
So why do you want to deal with Ethiopia?
So for us...
It sounds like it's full of onerous obstacles.
No, it's a perfect market for us because what we do is we can provide the ability and the infrastructure financially for Ethiopian companies to raise money globally, and they can raise it from a global investor base through an IPO. Like literally through an IPO.
All right.
And then the money flows into Ethiopia, into the company. So the company loves it. The Ethiopian government's very happy about that. That's what they want.
Then I wasn't wrong. It's kind of deregulated then in that respect.
Yeah, in that respect it is. And what we would then do is issue the customers that participated in the IPO and help to fund the company with a global token, basically. We tokenize the equity of the company. And that can be traded outside of Ethiopia without having to worry again about capital flows in and out of the country.
All right, so you on D-Stock, this is your product.
Absolutely.
You guys can list bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, you can invest in small businesses, all kinds of digital assets, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And how many people in your team?
There's 20 of us now. It's grown pretty rapidly. So yeah, global company. We based and well, people are working from Europe predominantly.
Yeah,
it's quite a lot of people. We've got a team in London, in Berlin as well, Asia as well as down here in Cape Town.
Okay, we can find out more. Apparently, you could just go to destock.exchange. Exchange.
Yeah, the website's destock.exchange, and that will be relaunching next week. The full site. Actually, this is our first interview prior to the media launching. So listen, we've got a little exclusive going on here.
We want to be first, and I do think this is a great idea, and I do think you guys are breaking new ground here. This is a great place for people who are speculating in business. You don't have to be some big shot, you know, venture capitalist to be able to put your money into something that you think is a good idea.
Exactly.
Sometimes the very best bets are the ones that you follow from seed.
Precisely.
You see some company that's busy developing agricultural technology in East Africa, and you suddenly decide, look, I could afford to put 10,000 Rand into that in cryptocurrency.
Yeah. You see, I definitely agree with you. And I think something that people talk about a lot is financial inclusion. And obviously, I'm sure that your listeners are also aware about that, kind of improving products of a financial nature to customers. But I think what people don't talk about enough is economic inclusion, which is to say that if there is growth happening in an economy, such as Ethiopia that we were talking about, right?
Anthea just messaged me. This is Anthea Gardner, who does our money shot. She just said to me, listening to you, Gareth, guess your way through the Ethiopian economy is ridiculous. I was there a couple of years ago, and I did some research. I'll talk to you about it on Monday, so we'll get the lowdown from Anthea. But yes, as you were saying,
excellent.
Financial inclusion, carry on.
Yeah, I was talking about economic inclusion, which is that if there are companies that are growing at very high rates, people should have access to that. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it pretty much is just VCs that have access to that. As an individual, such as yourself, if you wanted to invest, say, 10,000 Rand, you'd have to do it in a large company, a low growth large company. And what we're trying to do is say, hey, let's open up the borders to everyone and allow, if there is a large amount of growth happening in the economy, let everyone participate, not just a select few large companies that have access to it because they're large companies.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming to speak to us about it. Good luck to Destock. D-S-T-O-Q.
Yeah, that's right.
D-S-T-O-Q. Exchange. Go and find out more. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you, man.
You too.
Good. Pop by again.
Good luck with your crypto portfolio.
Please. Don't even get out of here.
Just sick. Had to ruin it right Jesus, at the end.
I was having such a good day. You go and invest it in some company and you make much better returns probably. I don't know. Certainly at the moment. God. Just watch, you look at those graphs and they just go, it's like a mountain range with a huge steep fall right at the end. See people falling down to the ground. All right, take a big deep breath, everybody. It's Friday. You're allowed to chill and relax, and in a couple of minutes' time, we will meet some of the legends of South African comedy. And I know that word gets bandied about around, and people love to say, he's a legend and she's a legend. And it's bullshit. Most of the people that you find being given this moniker of legend, they did something on social media. These people I'm talking about did stuff when there wasn't even stuff. These people were making their way. They were this man. I have such time for Joe Parker. He has done so much for every other comic in South Africa, and all of them will say it. I mean, they're wise enough to be able to give credit where it's due. What Joe Parker has done for comedy in this country. We should all get down on our goddamn knees and bow down to this man. Things that he's done. Eddie Eckstein. You remember him on TV? You remember the game shows. You remember the comedy. This man is an incredible artifact of our culture, if nothing else. Tony the King. Don't get me started. And we had Mark Banks in here the other day. So we've got lots to talk about with these gentlemen. They're all coming up in the next little while. Sia has chosen a couple of songs for us this morning, and this one is just for you, Mubs.
Oh.
Yes, we've decided that we're going to give you something special for a Friday.
Thank you.
All right. It's Prince. It's Friday. Get up, get your day started. Oh, Sia almost ruined that song by singing along. My buddy had to stop him. She basically pulled out a knife. It got very ugly.
Ruined it? No, this is not the first time you've done this. You did this with Purple Rain. It was very upsetting.
Prince and I have...
You don't have anything.
A similar range.
No, you have nothing. You have nothing to do with Prince.
I'm just not in key, but...
No.
If you just close your eyes, you could confuse him enough.
Prince didn't know you existed, and if he heard that you were trying to sing his songs, he would stop you. He used to go on the internet, and he would find all of his material that people had put up on YouTube, and he would write to YouTube virtually every night to say, take this down. Take this down. Take that down as well.
That's what happened.
Take down all of this. You know which Prince relative you could probably get to do a solo with? Tyka Nelson.
Thank you very much.
I will never get sick of hearing how terrible. This just proves to you that you could have the same parents, you could be totally untalented, and your brother or sister can be the most genius person that ever lived.
Yeah.
Why does that never get old?
If Prince had just, I don't know, there was some marrying of magic and the stars and music and just incredible attention to detail. The guy could play so many instruments. Genius. There's no other way to put it. He was an absolute, complete musical genius. And then his sister is this embarrassing, steaming pile of shit. This is like the opposite of Prince. Oh, that's the worst song ever.
If it ain't right, you gotta position your body right. Mm-hmm. That's what she says. Okay.
Right.
Oh, Tyka.
Well, I don't know if you ever heard, but Elvis's younger sister. Did you ever hear Elvis's younger sister?
No.
Yes, Elvis Presley, who of course was the king of rock and roll. He was one of the greatest musicians who ever lived, and people love Elvis. Well, he had a younger sister called Vitara. Nobody knows about her.
What?
Nigerian pussy is the tightest. Ghanaian pussy is not. Damn. Nigerian pussy is the softest.
Very different genres that they, you know, that the two of them.
Very different.
Yeah.
People
don't
know much
but
about.
But then you've got to play to your strengths.
Shows how unique they both are. Wow.
Very unique. Very exciting.
Vitara and Elvis.
All right. What else is it? You want to throw in any other stuff that's in the news that we need to know before we go on our weekend, Mubs?
Okay. Let's see what I can leave you with here.
Let me just remind you, George Meany's popping by with a quick look at what's been happening this week in motorsport and what's been happening in cars and on our roads and all the rest of it. He's always very interesting to listen to. And after that, we're going to talk to Eddie Eckstein, to Joe Parker. They're putting on an amazing show presented by the Live Series. We'll tell you about that. It's called The Legends Live. So that's coming up. Just so you know what's going on. Back to you, Mums.
Okay, so this might interest you, Gareth, because, you know, you happen to be a fan of the man.
Yes.
Barack Obama might be signing a new production partnership with Netflix.
Yes.
Yes.
What would it be called?
Possibly he could appear on camera as the moderator of a new series, or he might stay...
Obama!
Thank you. He might stay off camera as a producer of a show. Rumored to be about uplifting American stories.
Or maybe Obama!
Or maybe he'll do both. Talks are reportedly underway between Obama and Netflix, according to a source familiar with the discussions. The source characterized it as a production partnership, saying that a deal has not been finalized yet, but there has been a lot of back and forth between the former president and Netflix.
Let me tell you something, Mabali. I'm going to be doing this show, but I'm not going to appear on it. I'm going to be behind the scenes.
Okay.
He's not going to go on. Why would he ruin his... He's got this great reputation. You know, so many people hang on for so long in a job, and they look for attention after their job is finished as well. And Obama's not like that. He doesn't need to do this. I think he'll produce it, sure.
Yeah. Look,
he's going to moderate on a panel. Like a... Please, you imagine him? All right, let's see what you have to say on the left-hand side. And on the right, what do you have to say, please?
Yeah, no, look. But if you're Netflix, you are likely the one that went to him with the deal and said, hey, Mr. Former President, we were thinking that, you know, you could do X, Y, and Z, and then he'll probably mull it over and then decide, nah, I don't think that that's for me. But if it does happen, both him and Michelle will be involved in a series of shows for Netflix. But you're probably right, Gareth, probably from a production point of view. Yeah, Netflix saying that they have more than 117 million subscribers. 55 of those are in the United States. So, yeah.
You know who they should have got before they killed him in that trench is Gaddafi. He would have been a good game show host.
A game show host.
Money or death. Ilanan. Ilanan. Tara tara. Right?
Ilanan. Ilanan. Thora. Thora.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, doesn't he sound like the kind of guy who'd get a real game show feel going?
Yeah, he's got that voice that projects really well. So
right.
Could have been a
good fit. Two contestants play. Yeah. One contestant goes home.
Except in the Gaddafi version, it's one contestant get the hand cut off. You lose. You lose head.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's basically what happened to him, isn't it?
Well, yeah, he didn't last very long in that trench. But I still think he had a future as a game show host.
Okay.
Post his presidency. We really cut him short. He could have been something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obama, don't want to see him doing that. I want to see who's the... You know who could be really good? Silvio Berlusconi or even Jacob Zuma.
Ooh.
They could be interesting game show hosts, but it's got to be like a filthy game show.
Yeah, it's very slimy and creepy.
Where you, it's like a beauty pageant, but where you rate women purely on their looks.
Oh, but that's already what beauty pageants are.
Really? Oh, I'm sad to hear that.
Well,
really? Thought we'd done better than that. Honestly, you've spoiled my day.
I'm sorry.
I thought we'd evolved as human beings.
Look,
are you telling me these beauty pageants are just a cattle parade?
Well, Gareth, I don't know how you feel every time you watch the swimsuit section. Are you really thinking about their intellectual capacity?
Of course I am. How dare you?
Okay.
I have respect for women, my buddy.
Oh, there she is.
Yes, that's why we have a swimsuit section, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, it's to show off the brains.
Sure, sure. I get it.
The brains need to be shown off in the swimsuit section.
Sure.
That's why you'll notice they never cover their heads. Show off their brains.
Yes.
Great.
That's it, guys.
All right, my buddy. Thank you. There we go. Mubs will return triumphantly on Monday morning. 6 a.m.
Indeedy.
Yes. She's about to go and hit the weekend where it hurts.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I'm about to grab it where Donald Trump likes to grab it.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm
not. Okay.
I'm out.
You've become so revolting. It's just unreal. I apologize to everybody who had to listen to that. Hey, let me just throw this in. I saw that SASSA, I know we've kind of finished with the news, but I saw that SASSA have decided they are going to use the post office to distribute some of the social grants. Mm. In a massive twist, a constitutional court decision earlier this week to reserve judgment in the urgent application by SASSA to extend CPS's unlawful contract for a further 6 months might have shocked the tardy agency, that is SASSA, out of its torpor. That's according to Marianne Tum in the Daily Maverick today. On Thursday, SASSA and the South African Post Office called a press conference and did what she called a gigaba, telling the nation, we going to be all right come 1st of April. So just a bit of info for you, because, you know, people are all watching that. And I've said before, and I meant it because it really does matter in a country where so many people depend on these social grants in order to live. These things matter. We need to have this kind of stuff administered properly. And SASSA have done a woeful job of seeing to it that South Africans who are below the poverty line get their welfare payments. Thanks to that terrible Batabile Dlamini, that drunken terrible Batabile Dlamini. We've had to deal with the most unpopular, unbelievably, it's derisive. It shows such a hatred for South African people that she didn't even bother at any stage to account to the country for the fact that these people might have ended up with zero come welfare payment day. So I'm glad that it's slowly starting to be taken in hand, even if the Constitutional Court had to force that to happen. There's a reason to smile this Friday morning. Coming up, George Meany will pop in with a little bit of news over the week, and then we'll get to our legends of comedy. I see Joe Parker's just arrived, which is terrific. So we're going to speak to him and to Eddie, and we'll speak. I don't know if Banks is coming in, but I do know that Tony DeKing is here as well. So the live series presents Legends Live, a stand-up comedy special featuring four of South Africa's pioneers of comedy. We'll talk to all of them in a little while. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar with SZA. SZA, All the Stars. It's from Black Panther. Very cool song. There's a Friday song for you. There's some feels for a Friday. Okay, we're going to bring in these legends of comedy in a moment or two. George Meany's waiting to tell us all about what's going on in the week in terms of motoring, motorsport, cars, the roads, the things you care about, kind of everything to do with wheels. So we'll get to that in a moment too. Just going to read this quickly. Hey, Gareth and team, thank you for a great show. This is from Rickus. He says, I am a SICA, that's South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, article clerk, currently in my final year of articles. As all our trainee audit clerks sit in an open plan office, there's a lot of distraction a lot of the time. In order to stay focused and be more productive, a lot of us work while we listen to music on our earphones. I, for instance, like to listen to podcasts of your show and the Bounce Show. It makes me laugh. It usually puts me in a good mood while I'm working, and it's always interesting. Of course, I only put the earphone in one ear, because when I put it in two ears or I put it on loud, then everybody could see that I'm not paying attention. And if someone shouts in the office, then I can't hear them. I do not put it on loud so that when the phone rings or one of the directors or managers are looking for my attention, I can respond immediately. What a responsible article clerk you are. Most people couldn't give a shit. So good for you. Last week, all the staff received an email that the use of earphones is prohibited during work hours with immediate effect, and it obviously made all of us very unhappy. What are you and the team's views on using earphones during work hours? Should it be allowed or not? Sia, what do you think of this? Outrageous, right?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, sometimes, like, what is this? Are you? Who is your boss? Hitler? Tell me you are and aren't allowed to do.
Well, yes, we can go with that too.
Hitler. You work for Hitler.
Why?
I don't know.
What you're? I mean, you're talking to your.
You can do. Most people are able to do two things at once. I can't, but a lot of people can.
Well, if you're promoting communication with your colleagues, that means that as well your staff is doing something apart from work.
Well,
let them listen to their music.
I think it's draconian, and frankly, they're trying to. I would take them to the Human Rights Commission.
Oh, geez, wow, that's great.
All right, Marjorie says, I was reading your book last night, Cliffhanger. So far, I love it. You started with explaining all the times you got into trouble. I'm really interested in listening to some of these things. Where can I find your interview with Jesus? I would love to hear that. Well, no, I did that on 702 years ago, so I don't think there's a recording of it. There wouldn't be a record. You see, the problem with working for those radio stations is that if you did anything with them, then you would immediately, it belongs to them, it's their property, and they wouldn't necessarily keep archives. So it's gone. It's gone forever, I'm afraid, Marjorie. You'll never hear that again. I'd love to hear it, she says, but if it'll open a can of worms, don't worry about it. I searched on YouTube, and there was some stuff. It was so cool to actually see you. I know what you guys look like, but it was different seeing you on a screen. You look very tall. Is there a possibility that you could let me know how tall you are? No, it's none of your business. I'm listening live right now. You all rock. Your show's part of my life. Thank you, Marjorie. Now, I'm only kidding. I'm probably, what, six? What am I, 6'3"? I'm 187 centimeters. I don't know how tall I am. How tall are you, George Meany?
178, I think.
Then I'm probably about, just say whatever George said. That's my height.
No, that's not your height. You're taller than me.
So, George, lots to talk about this week. What do we got?
Well, the frickin' e-tolls. Sorry I'm late.
What's happening with e-tolls? Is that still going ahead? Is that a thing?
I think it's stuck, to be honest. There were a bunch of protesters with flags and hoot for e-tolls, but it causes chaos onto the on-ramps. So nobody can get onto the frickin' on-ramps.
Is that why you were struggling this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all right. You're here now.
I'm here now.
But e-tolls have got to get rid of. It's a joke. It's a waste of time. I heard David Makura, the premier of Gauteng, actually saying the other day, he's got to go back to the drawing board. We've got to scrap this whole system. Start again.
Exactly.
Good.
Even one of the items I got on the list today is a new highway.
Mm-hmm. Where are they going to build the new highway?
East to west, past Oliver Tambo. So this new highway is dubbed the PWV-15.
Oh, and, I heard some mutterings about this. How will it go? Can you describe its general kind of direction?
Its main intention is to skip the Galulis interchange.
Be heaven.
Because apparently, well, I don't drive through the Goodlitz interchange, but apparently it's very congested in the
morning.
Shocking. So that's on the plans for Gauteng. And, you know, will there be an e-toll on it? Hopefully frickin' not.
They've just got to build a highway like up. We need to do it about a kilometer and a half up into the sky and just take it right over the whole of the center of Joburg. And then people can get from east to west easily. Why aren't they doing this? It's 2018. Come on.
So talking about that. Drone deliveries in the UK is a reality.
It's happening?
It's happening. Okay. There's actually plans by the UK government. They're busy investigating at the moment. Technology that that allows operators of drones not to have the drone in their line of sight.
Hmm.
Which means that they need a detection system that tells the air traffic control where the drone is at any time.
Right.
So, which means that companies like Amazon can now start delivering via drones, because the only thing that stopped Amazon from delivering or stops Amazon from delivering via drone is the drone has to be in line of sight. Now that doesn't have to happen.
Okay. So it's like a transponder or something, so you could track it?
Yes, like a transponder that can appear on a radar.
All right.
Air traffic control can now monitor these drones. So I think that'll change the mode of delivery of goods first, and then maybe even people.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully South Africa comes up with some similar drone laws, because our drone laws lag everyone else.
Good. Yeah, we need to get our Civil Aviation Authority on board with this one, because they're the ones who need to actually make it happen in terms of allowing people to use these drones.
Exactly.
At the moment, you technically are not allowed to have a drone, full stop. You have a drone?
I do. I have a drone.
I knew you would. You have every kind of moving gadget that there is. You've got to test them out. It's part of your job.
Exactly. I love flying my drone, and I.
How many times have you crashed it?
Once, then Durban in December.
Big damage?
No, just one of the propellers damaged a bit, but that's the least of the worries. If it fell to the ground and broke the camera, that would be the most expensive part.
All right, what else is in the news?
I suppose the biggest piece of news is the new Maybach. You know what the Maybach is?
It's that super Mercedes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's that extra luxury. Doesn't Cyril own the only one in South Africa?
I think you're right. The new Maybach, the latest version, the Maybach-branded S-Class, mm-hmm. Is spoken to come out with a projected headlight that can project images onto the road. They're calling it the digital light.
Yes.
Now, what this digital light can do is you can choose whatever images you want to be projected onto the road, including your speedometer, your speed. So it can be used as a heads-up display. So you're driving on a long road at night, and you don't want to take your eyes off the road. You can put your dashboard on through these headlights onto the actual tar surface, and the image will appear, which I think is quite interesting. Another use for this these headlights are you could project two lines into the distance of the road if there's a narrow part that you have to drive through, so you see whether
that's
the car
clever.
Very clever.
I get that, but not too much information. Otherwise, you're looking at the road surface and reading something instead of actually driving.
Yeah, I think it could have its.
I love these heads-up displays, by the way. They're very, very clever.
They are. I think they should be in every single car. I don't know if this is taking it a bit far, because, like you say, you could get fixated on that image.
Eventually, you're not looking ahead of you; you're looking right down in front of you.
The thing about this these headlights is you can also display messages. So if you want to drive with a message or send messages to other drivers, you can do that.
No, sorry, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea. So, you know, that's kind of the visual representation of what it may look like.
Okay.
So the Maybach, whether it'll get to the Mercedes-Benz, I think time will tell, but at the moment there's no rumor of it.
Well, they've sort of reached the ceiling about of what they can put into a Maybach or what they can put into these super luxury cars. Yeah. They've reached the ceiling. They've got massages and they've got interior mood lighting and they've got seats that you can adjust in 1,000 different ways. And
next thing is leave the steering and the pedals and just sit there.
Yeah. Well, the driverless car. There we go.
Another thing, SpaceX. SpaceX's Space Tesla, the little dummy that SpaceX sent into space.
Right.
Some scientists are saying that this could be a biological threat to other planets.
Why?
Because the car wasn't cleaned, or the bacteria wasn't
removed.
Oh, so
we could transfer our earthly bacteria to another planet. Oh, shame. Woe is that other planet. So what's the worst that could happen? They could develop life?
Exactly. So some scientists are coming back and saying, well, there could be a benefit because the bacteria could actually begin growing.
Oh, please. All right. I mean, if that's our biggest problem in the world, then we don't have problems.
And closer to home, the 10th of March is the World Naked Bike Ride in Cape
Town. Sounds revolting.
Now,
nothing that you want to see less than naked bikers.
Exactly, but it's driven to try and encourage or protest against fossil fuels and to use bicycles as a mode of transport as opposed to cars. And
it's cyclists, not bikers.
Cyclists, yes.
Okay, yes. Even less. If you had to choose between seeing naked bikers or seeing naked cyclists, I think you'd have to choose the bikers.
Yeah, but then they're going to go by really fast.
That's all right. That's exactly why you choose them. All right, George.
That's it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gareth.
All right, George Meany, and you can catch him on Auto Central. There's a brand new fresh episode in this week, actually, if you haven't listened to it already. And if you don't catch this week's, you can catch the next one, which comes on in a week from now. Monday there'll be a repeat of that show, so if you like to listen live, then that's another place you can find it. It's brought to you by Auto Trader every single week, and you can see their big billboard. I saw your one you talk about the Galulis interchange coming from Galulis towards Sandton.
Yes.
It's on the right hand side. Yes. There near Marlborough.
Yes.
Huge big Auto Trader billboard. Beautiful.
Love them. More coming.
Very good. Very nice. Cheers, thanks. Cheers, George.
This is CliffCentral.com.